Hello, my friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Freedom Formula for Physicians Podcast, the podcast dedicated to helping doctors like you slash your debt.
It is available right now.
Now, of course, you can buy it from
Amazon.
Well, but I have the pleasure today of welcoming back a guest who loves the New York Knicks. He especially loves Phil Jackson.
That's one word. Doc Book to 442.
And he is the doc outside the box. He's been on this podcast before. He had the pleasure of having me on his podcast.
Now, I'm offering all kinds of bonuses
ago,
with this.
And I am
Make
so
sure
excited
check out the
for this moment
the
because
we'll shoot you right over
he
so
has
check
paid
out.
Off his student debts in full. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that journey. Not only his debts, actually his wife's student debts as well.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to talk about that. Welcome back, Nidarko.
Hey, thank you, Dave, for having me on the show. You know, it's funny. I'm not sure if I'm excited more about Phil Jackson being gone or if I paid off my student loan debt.
Oh, man, your Knicks had a hard year, right? I mean, it's...
Hey, better than last year. We have some promise. Phil Jackson is gone. Carmelo's gone. And you see, once, you know the shadow of having to do the triangle offense from Phil Jackson and then the black hole, which was Carmelo Anthony, is gone. You know, it's a little bit more uplifting to see where they're going. Now, obviously, Porzingis got an ACL injury, so that's a little disappointing. But still, I think things are looking up for the Knicks.
All right. No championship next year, though, I don't think. Unless...
Oh, come on now. No. As long as LBJ, you know who King James is in the East, nobody's winning a championship except the Golden State Warriors. Yeah.
Steph Curry's out, though. You may not make it to the first round.
Yeah, there's a chance. Katie. There's a chance, though. I agree with you. This is interesting. This is interesting. This may bring back not last year's championship, the year before that, where the Cavaliers actually may have a chance to sneak in and win a championship. So I agree with you.
We'll see what happens. I mean, the Rockets are sure looking pretty good, but
man, yeah, they look real good.
That's something else. Anyhow, enough NBA talk.
Yeah, we can go on for this, man, forever, man. I love the next stuff.
We'll start a new podcast, the Dave and Knee Basketball Show.
Yo, let's do it, man. Let's do it, man.
Lakers versus the Knicks. Anyhow, they both haven't been that great. Anyhow, So, Nee, I teased a little bit in the podcast introduction here about your journey of now you have paid off your student debt. I am so proud of you, man.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations.
Yes. I mean, if we could bring in like the background music of D1, you know, I finished paying Sally Mae back. I mean, that is my theme song. But yeah, we got it all paid off. And it just feels like we just got a huge ton off of our backs, man.
Well, what a journey. You think about our last podcast where you came on here and we talked about being at the bar with a insurance guy who makes you get more insurance than you had before, you're looking at your student loans at that moment when you change your minds. You say, this is crazy. Why the heck are we doing this? And how much was that at the time, Nee?
So the student loans at that time was $662,000.
And that was when you were in practice, right? Like your first year in practice, kind of when you said, screw this insurance stuff.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, at that time, we were just... So basically what happened is at that time, I was listening to Dave Ramsey. I was listening to various podcasts on personal finance, reading blogs, and they kept talking about how, you know, cash value life insurance is not the way to go for most people, right? And I knew that I had this plan that literally we were paying more into our cash value plans than into our student loans. So deep down in my gut, I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know how to act on it. And it was just extremely frustrating, and I just felt powerless. And that kind of just started that process of where I said, you know, not to get dramatic, but just like enough is enough, right? It seems like a Lifetime movie, right? Like enough is enough. I'm done with this. And I just started this journey. Me and my wife started this journey on just educating ourselves. And it started off literally with a conversation with that agent who sold us the plan. And his answer to us was, well, you guys need to budget better. And we're like, huh. Okay, well, if that's the way you're going to answer it, part of it is true, then, you know, to heck with what you are giving us, we're going to do things the smart way, and, you know, the rest is history.
So walk me through the student loans at that point. Did you refinance them? You know, what did you do at that moment?
No, we did not refinance our loans because her loans were at 4%, my loans were at 3%. That was just for the federal, that was just for the federal loans. Our private loans were anywhere between 6% to 8%. And that was about $130,000. So what we decided to do first off is we're married. We decided to, and this is not, doesn't work for everybody, but we decided to look at her debt like my debt like her debt. This became our debt. And with that, we were able to combine our forces, combine our income to really slay this debt. So we did not refinance. What we did is we decided to go after the higher percentage or the higher interest rate first, which was the private loans. And you know how we started? We started by cashing. We got rid of our cash value life insurance. We surrendered that. And we got, I'd say, about 90% back. And with that, we were literally able to pay, I'd say, about a quarter of those student loans with that amount that was in cash value, which lets you know how much we were putting into there. So we got lucky with that, but it was our money anyway, right? So we started paying off the student loans, and we thought, okay, well, the private loans will probably take about, you know, 3 years to pay back. And then we just started doing the math, and we're like, wait, we could probably do this in a year. And we actually ended up paying it off in 6 months. Yeah. So we paid it off in 6 months, and then we said, okay, well, look, our federal loans are at 3%, and the other ones are at 4%. We started doing the mathematics about, well, if we refinance, you know, some of the origination fees and all these different things, and looked at a whole bunch of different companies, and based off of what we were looking at on our current situation, the best refinance situation that we could look at, something that would have been a variable rate, and we just weren't willing to take that risk. So we said, look, if we can, you know, get down on our knees and take out our private loans and do the same with our federal loans, then it won't be that bad, you know, for the next maybe 2-3 years to really take it down. And we hustled and we got it done. So
tell me about, like, you have episode 43 on Docs Outside the Box. You had your wife on, great episode. And I would love to know, like, what did you guys have to sacrifice to get there?
Yeah.
If anything, like, tell us about that part of the equation, which I think, you know, often isn't talked about enough, right? So to do $662,000 of debt in how many years? Three years.
Yeah. Yeah.
3 years, $220,000. You're not including the interest.
Yeah. You know, and that's the part that people don't understand. And don't forget, like, people are like, oh, well, you make a lot of salaries, you make a lot of money, you know, and it's like, well, you know, from a financial standpoint, we're okay. But don't forget, like, taxes take a big percentage out of that. So, you know, we, in order to sacrifice, one of the biggest things that we had to do was really look at what was coming into the house from an income standpoint and what was coming out of the house. And we are not big spenders to start with. So that's one thing that was going positive for us. But we just started noticing that, like, we were spending so much on groceries, and we were spending so much at, you know, on food at the hospital, cafeteria, fast food, and so forth. And, you know, you spend a significant amount of time in a hospital, it only makes sense that you would eat there. But the problem is we would spend, like, you know, $400 a month or $500 a month on food, on groceries, and then we'd come home and not eat it. And then they would perish, you know, obviously within a week, 2 weeks, maybe even longer. And it didn't make sense. So that was one of the biggest things that we said, we can actually cut our budget. Why don't we go down to a $200 a month grocery budget? So that was a big sacrifice, but we figured out how to do it. And then we gave each other a $50 allowance to spend money at work for food. So that was a big sacrifice, you know, helped us get healthy, took, you know, lunch meat to work and bread and so forth, and stopped, you know, splurging in essence, you know, at work. But also at the same time, it brought us closer together because it, you know, my wife is the better cook. So we teamed up, right? So she cooks and then I clean. So it wasn't too much of a burden for each person. And it wasn't like that every day, you know, every other day she would cook and make enough so that we can have leftovers for the night, you know, the next day. But it just became like a team, you know, Team Darko, right? So if she cooked, I cleaned and put the stuff away. And then, you know, we figured out what we're going to eat the next couple of days. And it worked like that. That was one of the biggest sacrifices. But actually, we got that done. That wasn't too big of a problem. The biggest thing also we noticed is that we needed more income. And where it came into effect was, you know, you go through, you know, we're high achieving, you know, individuals, you know, you know, wanted to get our degrees and we wanted to do very well and so forth. And as a result, you know, sometimes, you know, from a social aspect, things get delayed. And what I mean by that is, you know, we were kind of pushing off having kids, you know, until we got our degrees. Well, then lo and behold, you want to have kids and it's like, uh-oh, this ain't working. You know what I'm saying? So you get to a point where you're like, okay, wow, we're in our mid to late 30s. Why are we having such difficulty taking care of or having a kid? So as a result, we had to, you know, start IVF. But before we started paying off our debt, the biggest thing that we made to each other was we said we will never, ever create any more debt during this point. And because of that, it's like, okay, you know, IVF is very expensive. Our insurance didn't cover it. How are we going to pay for this? And if we're not creating any more debt, we're not using credit cards, we're not taking out any loans, how are we going to make this happen and still pay off our student loans? So, you know, I had to do extra work. My wife had to do extra work in terms of locum tenens. So there was a point where I would work at my job. My job is a 2 week on, 2 week off type job for trauma surgery. I would work for the first 2 weeks, do my 100 hours per week. And then at the end, I would get on a plane. And for the next 7 to 10 days, sometimes even longer, I fly off to the Midwest or wherever, you know, needed a trauma surgeon, and I'd work there. And I did that for about, I'd say a little over a year. And so literally 2 weeks, you know, we're spending 2 weeks away from each other. That, I think, was the biggest sacrifice, because obviously, you know, we're newlyweds, you know, we're getting to, you know, getting to spend a lot of time with each other. You know, you want to build a relationship, but also at the same time, now you have this financial situation, which is causing us to have to be away from each other for 2 weeks. That was difficult. But, you know, we made it through, we got through with it. And, you know, we were able to do IVF treatments, no debt whatsoever with that. But also at the same time, we weren't successful. But then our child came spontaneously. So, you know, it's just funny how all this stuff works out. You know, just like, you know, it's just amazing how this stuff works out.
Well, I mean, like, life finds a way. You know, it's kind of like one of those things you often hear, you know, you try so hard for something, and then when you just kind of say screw it, you know, then you get it, right? You know,
viewers
can work like that sometimes.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and people who are listening to this and have gone through that process with IVF, they hear that all the time. Like, it's so much stress. So I'm not going to, I understand what you're saying, and I understand that from my standpoint also, but, you know, it's just, there's one thing to say about stress. Stress plays a really large role in the process. And I'll leave it there, because I know sometimes it can be a really difficult process for other people who are going through this process and they haven't seen the results also.
Well, the other thing I want to point out that you talked about last time that I think a lot of physicians I see struggle with as they come out of practice is they want to buy a house. And you guys delayed that gratification of buying a house, so you didn't have to have that burden. In this journey, were you going back and forth on that decision, or was it like, no, we're just dead set on getting rid of the student debt? You know, talk me through that some, right? I mean, you got to put down some dollars to buy houses.
Yeah, we wasn't trying to hear any of that. Like, so many people said, when are you going to buy a house? When are you going to, like, we already have a house. You know, and they're like, well, yeah, with who? Yeah, with Sally Mae. You know, like no, like we are seriously like $662,000. That's a mortgage right there. You know, and it's like, nah, we're not getting another house. Already at this point too, remember, I don't know if your listeners know, I'm already an accidental landlord at this point. So what that means is in 2006, I graduated from medical school. I thought I deserved something nice. And, you know, regretfully, I went and I purchased a home in 2006 in Atlanta, Georgia, where I was doing my residency rather than rent. And things were going great for the first 2 or 3 years. But then 2008 comes, 2009 comes, and I'm in this subdivision and I'm noticing my neighbors are starting to put up foreclosure signs. And, you know, what was once, you know, a very good investment, you know, at $150,000 is now, you know, are surrounded by all of these foreclosures. And the house right across from me went, you know, just got sold for $50,000. You know, so literally losing $100,000 in value, you know, in my home in a span of 2 to 3 years left an extremely bad taste in my mouth, you know, and then renting it out had some bumps and bruises, you know, from that. So when people, you know, fast forward, you know, 5 years, people are saying you should get a house. I'm like, there's no way that I'm getting a house with all of this student loan debt, knowing that when you get a house, possibly Murphy's Law is going to be able to move in. No, I'm not doing it. So, you know, we were tempted so many times, but we just said like, no, like we'll continue to rent. The other thing too, with renting, the other thing too, that was kind of pushing us is we knew that we wanted to stay mobile. And for us, we knew mobility was key for us. You know, the other sacrifice that we didn't talk about is we took jobs in at least 5 hours away from where our families live. We're both from the New York, New Jersey area. So we knew that in order to really make significant gains on our loans, like we just couldn't live in New Jersey or New York. you know, cost of living is too high. So we made the decision to live 5 hours away in a rural portion of Pennsylvania. And it's been great. You know, we've you know, it's the salary's good, you know, the people have been really great to us. The cost of living is really really low. But that was a huge sacrifice. And we just knew, well, if we rent, that we would have the mobility after maybe 4 years, 5 years to say, you know what, maybe it's time to come back so we can be closer to family also.
That those are all great points and all sacrifices that you made, and look at you now. And I encourage everyone to check out his episode, Docs Outside the Box, episode number 43, because they talk about, he and his wife, about a moment when you weren't there. When your wife was not doing so well. So check that out, everybody. I'm going to leave that as something for you to check out, to listen to on Docs Outside the Box. Yeah. But Nia, I want to...
some drama there right there, huh?
Right. Absolutely. So I want to kind of shift to now, the now. So today you are, have your own locums company.
Yes.
And you're no longer W-2,
no.
Right? You're all 1099. Yeah. And you have the podcast as well, for sure. How do you think life has shifted for you now that you're debt free?
Oh, tell me not at life. Not at, we've paid off our student loans. Life is just, you know, it's you look at life differently, because during this process, you're starting a business, we're starting the podcast, we're, you know, basically it's like, the best way I can describe it is, what did I say? Necessity is the mother of all invention, right?
Right.
Like we started realizing, like, okay, this method of being employed and working all these hours, you know, it just doesn't work for me right now. It doesn't work for my wife right now. So during this process, we're kind of just looking at ways in which we can get closer to home, ways in which, you know, we can start to have a life where we can, you know, kind of do our jobs and then be able to kind of be mobile. And we started realizing that just kind of being employed at that moment is just not going to work for us. Like, no, I can't fathom an employer who would be like, yeah, like, you know, you pick when you want to work and, you know, whenever you come back, you come and work. Like, this just wasn't going to work for us. So during this time, we just had to make a decision and say, okay, listen, it seems as though right now we value experience more so than like property, right? Like a house or a car or anything like that. We value each other. We value our child. We value our family. So we decided that, you know, we're going to take a life of, you know, we're going to try to fail as many times as possible. And what that means is we're just going to throw anything at the wall and whatever we've always wanted to do, but we had to kind of let fall by the wayside because we had to get through medical school and so forth. We're going to try. So I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I really started getting into locums when, obviously, trying to pay off student loan debt. I felt as though I can do things differently. So let me try that. I love podcasts. And as a matter of fact, podcasts help me educate myself to pay off student loan debt. Let me try that. My wife she loves pre-meds. She loves coaching pre-meds. So she always wanted to start that business. So we decided to go ahead and try that. And in order to do that, locums just kind of fits our lifestyle a lot better. The ability to kind of work for, you know, a certain period of time and then be able to leave and leave all the geopolitical things that can happen at a hospital behind and not get involved in that, it just works for us right now. And we haven't looked back. I'm completely 1099. My wife is completely 1099. It took some work, but I think it's something that a lot of people should really consider. I have a feeling that as the years go by, as we get 5, 10, 15 years, you know, into the future, I think more and more physicians are going to look at that as a completely 100% viable option for them to work.
Interesting. And why do you think that? Tell me more.
Well, I think the whole notion of being a doctor who works at the same place for 30 years and, you know, similar to, you know, what the regular workforce has kind of gone through, that change is slowly, well, not slowly, but that change is coming to the medical field. And I think doctors, particularly the millennials and the younger generation, are starting to recognize that lifestyle is just as important as career. Right. Or somehow career and lifestyle have to really commingle and merge. And as a result, you know, as these hospitals like to employ you, the ability for you to kind of have that lifestyle may be compromised. And I think more and more physicians are starting to realize that, you know, being in control of your destiny, so to speak, is a lot more attractive than being an employed physician. Now, I'm not saying that I'm poo-pooing on being employed. I think it works in so many different ways. But I think more and more doctors are starting to realize that, maybe if I do it myself, then I can really have more control over, you know, the way in which I want to live and my lifestyle. And as a matter of fact, that's what we tout in our business, in our locum tenens businesses. We help doctors get the lifestyle that they always wanted, right? So not only do we give, you know, locums gigs, but we also give advice on how to, you know, properly enjoy your lifestyle, how to financially secure that lifestyle also. So I think we do things a lot differently than the average locums company, but that all comes from basically our mission on how we look at life also.
Well, I think the most important thing is that you're living it too, right? Getting rid of all these student loans, it's something that you have done. So I think it gives credence to the lifestyle and what you're doing now. So with your company, like, is that something where you still do a lot of locums work yourself? Or is it, do you have enough docs that you're helping a place that it's not as big of an issue?
No. So I'm still technically, I guess, quote unquote, young in the game. So I still need to practice. So I still practice. I still work, a significant portion of the time of the month, every month. I would like to pull back just a little bit, but you know, it's hard as a young physician, a young surgeon to kind of have that balance between, you know, being a very good, you know, general surgeon, trauma surgeon, and also at the same time trying to have the lifestyle, you know, where I'm able to kind of really focus on all the businesses at the same time. So it's ebb and flow, right? It's an ebb and flow. I'm doing it right now. Would I like to spend more time on, you know, all aspects of the business? Yes, but that's where virtual assistants come in. You know, we've talked about before. That's where, you know, asking for help comes in. And, you know, I've been able to delegate. And because of that, you know, the locums tenens business has been able to explode. You know, we are focusing primarily right now on OB as well as on trauma, and we will be expanding to ER and IM extremely soon. So if listeners are listening, we're coming with that very soon. The podcast is getting better. Everything is just getting better, but we've learned just to kind of delegate more and ask for help. And I'm not going to lie though. It's just a tough play to kind of just have that perfect balance between, okay, working enough and then also putting enough energy into or enough focus on the business. It's really tough, but it works so far for us.
All right, well, let's take a pause here for a second and go to our commercial break. Well, if you are like some members of my audience, you are committed to being an amazing doctor and succeeding at life. But the truth is you've never had all this financial training during medical school, and you're just struggling with enough time to do it all. Well, my friend, over 2 years ago, I started on this journey of writing my next book. And it was a book for residents and fellows. And I reached out to a few potential authors, and Amanda Liu joined me on this journey. Finally, it is available, The Physician's Guide, The Young Physician's Guide to Money and Life. It is packed with pretty much anything and everything you want to know as a young physician. Millionaire mindset, debt payoff, buying your first home, and contract negotiation. Now, of course, you can pick it up at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any major vendor. However, if you want the best deal possible, you are going to want to get it from me by texting DOCBOOK, that's all one word, DOCBOOK, to 44222, or going to drfreedompodcast.com/DOCBOOK. Now, why am I suggesting to do this? Well, it's because I am offering the sun, the moon, and the stars when you buy it directly from me, because not only will you get a physical copy of the book, for only about $25, $24.95, you are going to get the following as a bonus. Of course, the physical copy of the book, an electronic copy of the book, an audio copy of my other book, The Freedom Formula for Physicians, all of the episodes of the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, over 4 seasons worth of material, and you're going to get an electronic copy of the newest edition of the tax reduction prescriptions. And on top of that, you're going to get a whole new write-up on my journey in land investing. You're going to get exclusive content on that as I am going forward. My friends, this is over $100 retail of priceless knowledge. Are you ready to pick up this book and all the bonuses and get all that financial training that you've desired? You're going to get it from me by texting DocBook. Again, that's all one word, DocBook, to 44222. Or going to www.drfreedompodcast.com/DocBook. To snag your copy now, text DocBook to 44222. Or going to drfreedompodcast.com/DocBook. And now, back to the show. Well, and here, since the time you've been on the podcast, you had your son and a little knee.
Yes.
And that changes things too, right?
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
You know, with everything that you're doing, how has the paying off the student debt, having your son, you know, how has that changed the way that you work?
Oh, yeah. So now that we don't have to literally have a car payment, an entire car payment every month go towards student loans, you know, right. We don't need as much money. We've realized also we don't need as much money to kind of have the lifestyle that we want. Like, we weren't big spenders before. The big thing for us right now is, like I said before, is experiences. You know, we rent, you know, the home that we rent is, you know, is a very, you know, modest apartment, you know, and now that we don't have a big student loan payment that's in our budget, you know, the majority of our money can go towards savings and investing and, you know, 529 for our son. And the way how that overall correlates is I don't have to like jam pack my month with so many hours. So I can kind of pull back a little bit, actually a significant mm-hmm. amount, and be able to be at home more, spend more time with my wife, spend more time with my son, see him grow, you know, let my wife is part-time also. So we made a plan where when I work, she doesn't work. When she works, I don't work, so we can reduce on childcare. And you know, it works. It works right now for us. So it's like not having that huge monkey on our back saying that we have to pay that has really allowed us both to just say, okay, now that we have this money that we can just save and we can build our future with, like, how much do we really need of it to really have that experience?
And I'm so proud of you guys. I mean, what a great time to be in. And one of the things that I see, and I'm curious to see where you land on this, because you've done a whole bunch of different
just
stuff,
because
right?
I'm just telling you, you have to grind as
invested
hard,
in cash value, life insurance.
That
didn't go so well. You invested in a house. That didn't go so well. But you're investing now into businesses. So when you look at someone like, for me, I'm trying to mm-hmm. both kind of create what I call piles of cash, like Scrooge McDuck that I can go and swim in.
Yes.
As well. Oh, man. Yes. That's what I grew up on right there. That's my show. Yep. And then the other thing is having rivers of income, the Robert Kiyosaki, you know, rich dad, poor dad kind of mentality. And I'm trying to go.
You remember that cartoon, man?
I'm curious, like, do you lean more on the piles of cash
method now
after some of your previous uh-huh. experiences where you can kind of control it? You know, it's liquid. You could, you know, sell everything and put it under your mattress if you needed to. Or are you more streams of income? Are you kind of a combination? You know, how are you thinking now with being student debt free about wealth and building wealth and stuff like that?
That's a really good question. Really good question. So I'm actually both. And I just want to quickly, I don't want to belabor the point too much, but I'm a work in progress, right? So you talked about cash value life insurance and, you know, all these different things. Like, I'm learning through the School of Hard Knocks, but now I'm learning through, you know, different blogs, through your podcast, through multiple podcasts. I'm just a work in progress and I'm letting everything kind of just kind of work its way through everything. I think sometimes some people look at, you know, people who write blogs or people who do personal finance outside of people who are educated in that situation like you are, people look at it as if like they were born with this information, you know, and I'm very honest with telling people, like, I've made a lot of mistakes and you can learn from my mistakes. I'm very open and honest about you should not buy your insurance in a club, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, like, you should not buy it in a club, you know, but for me, what I've realized that is my mobility is equal to how much cash I have available either in my emergency fund or in my FU money, if you know what I'm talking about, right? In my FU stash. So yeah, I have, yeah. You know, for yeah. me right now, the biggest priority is having enough FU stash to be like, you know what? If something happens and either my job pisses me off or, you know, something pisses me off, I don't have to go back to work. I can just take some time off and do that. I have that stash. But also at the same time, I mean, you look at, you know, what you just said about having multiple businesses and having streams of income. Yeah, that's huge. You know, so now we are at a point where like, okay, you know, should we start thinking about real estate where, you know, we start really focusing on, you know, can we get some, you know, multiple streams of income from different investment properties, things like that. Like that process is going on right now because, you know, for me, what I look at sometimes, and I hope people don't look at this the wrong way, is like, I just don't want to be in my mid 50s or my late 60s pulling these 24-hour shifts in the hospital, you know, and having to do that every other day. Like, I just don't want that life. Right. I don't want to be estranged from my son. I don't want to have a poor relationship with my wife. And I'm not saying that if I don't have this lifestyle, that's automatically going to happen. But I'm just saying that, you know, I've seen so many examples of, you know, if you push so hard with your career that a lot of things fall by the wayside. And for me, I agree with you. If the more spread out and diversified I am, and even if I make mistakes, I'm still going to be moving in a positive direction, because inaction is not acceptable anymore for me. So,
well, and here's something that I haven't talked about yet on the podcast. So I'm just going to throw this out there now. I have 4 different businesses now, and oh, man, so yeah. You know, I'm feeling that strain.
You're mogul now.
Yeah. Well, but I'm feeling that feeling of being spread out. Right. Like I don't feel as focused and concentrated as I normally would. And I don't know about you, but it's getting to the point where it's like, you know, I might need to simplify my life.
Yes, I understand.
A little bit. And as much as I want multiple streams of income, you know, I might have to focus on a couple of businesses rather than having like 4. I'm curious because you're doing similar stuff to what I'm doing with having the locums company, doing locums yourself, having the podcast, supporting your wife, kind of doing her thing. You know, how are you feeling, you know, about feeling stretched and strained? And
I think I'd be lying to you if I said that, like, I wake up in the morning and I'm like smelling roses and, you know, I'm excited, you know, there are times when I wake up and I'm like, what am I doing? Like, you know, I have like emails that are coming from the podcast. I got emails that are coming from physicians who are at this facility, and I have, you know, I'm helping my wife with this. You're just like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. And it is crazy. And I agree with you. Like I, there are times where I feel exactly like how you feel. But one of the things that I know that I feel very strongly about is it's okay to like make mistakes. It's okay to kind of say, you know what? Mm-hmm. Like I have 4 businesses. It was great for some time. Let me pull back. I think it's okay to say that, you know, and for me too, sometimes, you know, I'm just gonna, you know, the locums company business, obviously that's the one that gets the most priority because you have other people who are working with you. They rely on you and stuff. This is something I'm really passionate about. That's going to keep going. But I know that if I need to fold up the podcast, I hope I never have to, but you know, I'll have to just fold that up. Or, you know, with my wife, that's something that she's very passionate about also. But also at the same time, we're just starting out with that business also. So, you know, I think one thing that what we embrace is there are times when we're like, you know, this is crazy. But also at the same time, it's like, can we go back to being employed? Like, nah, we can't do that. But also at the same time, we know that, hey, look, like, no. Yeah. You know, let's not worry about what other people have to say. If we have to close up shop or if we have to reduce what we're doing with our job, like, or with our businesses, so be it. You know, like we've been through the worst, right? Like our you know, proverbial house was in crisis when we had $662,000 in debt. Seriously, like that can cause relationships to end, marriages, you know, divorce. And we were able to get through that even stronger. So if we can make it through that, you know, we can definitely go through these rough times. So all in all, I'm saying I understand where you're coming from. And if you have to pull back, I agree. Maybe you may have to. And sometimes even I look at myself and I'm like, you know what, maybe we should, you know, we don't need to take every opportunity. Maybe we should pull back this a little bit. So I'm definitely there with you on that.
All right. Well, you got to find someone to run it for you, I think is the other solution. Like with the land business that I started in this last year, my goal is basically to end up just writing the checks and signing off on stuff and to have other people running it for me. You know, that's
I think that's a really good point because, you know, but it's obviously this podcast, you know, physicians are listening to this podcast. You know, what you just mentioned is being able to delegate, right? And in medicine, that doesn't really occur much, right? We're in a field where we had to be number one at everything. We had to be the expert on so many different things, right? And we had to understand and everything from surgery to radiology, whatever it is, we had to know everything. And working in a team doesn't really occur really in medicine. And I think in business, that doesn't work, obviously, right? Like you can't be involved in everything, right? Otherwise, your business is not going to thrive. It's not going to scale. And I think that's a really good concept that physicians need to understand. Like if you want to get into business, if you really want to start looking and thinking outside the box, you really have to understand management. You really have to start understanding the understanding and be okay with not knowing everything and saying, hey, I'm not an expert in this. Maybe I should hire someone else to do this job for me. It's okay.
Well, and I guess there's a difference between being the business owner and the business practitioner too, right?
Right.
And
right.
And you hear it said, work on the business, not in the business. And yes. But it's such a hard concept because that requires an investment of money, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because just being real, right? Like with the land business, one of the hard times I have doing is, I was like, oh my gosh, that's another $100, $200 check. Do I want to spend that right now? And I'd love to hear of how, like with the locums business, how is that evolving for you at this point? Like, how are you delegating stuff out so that you're not having to do everything?
Good point. That's a really, really good point. So, okay. So then maybe let me just get real then. So what you said 2 segments ago about feeling like you're feeling really stretched, I started to feel that way last year. And it came to a point where I sat down with my wife and I said, you know, I'm ready to fold this business. Like I can't like literally be taking out an appendix. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I finished the appendix, like dealing with travel for a physician, like this makes no sense. You know, like it was literally like that. Like I would take out an appendix or, you know, someone would get, you know, in a bad car accident, I'm taking out a spleen and my phone is buzzing because, you know, maybe a hospital needs a physician at the last minute. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. And part of that was I bootstrapped it. Me and my wife bootstrapped this business. We didn't take out any loans. Like we saved up and we started this business. And as a result, you know, when you do that, you don't want to hire anybody at that moment. I don't know if your guests can understand that, or I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Like you want to kind of keep your funds as close as possible. So last year it came to a point where I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like I can't do the confirmation letters. I can't do the reservations. I can't do, you know, all these things, different things, and then still practice. So my wife was like, do you remember that time I sent you that email about the virtual assistants, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no. She was like, yeah, I sent it to you. Actually, I sent it to you twice. And I was like, no, you didn't. We went back to her email. And she's like, yeah, here, I sent you this email. You ignored it because you wanted to do everything on your own. And I was like, look, I'm sorry, but like, listen, we need to contact this person. So we contacted a virtual assistant and it was almost like the gates, you know, this isn't exaggerated, but like, it was like the gates, you know, heaven opened up,
but literally angels singing,
you know, right. Now it takes a while to train your virtual assistant to kind of do the job the way in which you want to do it. And nobody's going to be able to do it as well as you. Right. But if she can do it 90%, then I'm okay with it. So the fact that she's been able to take literally a significant amount of the repetitive work away from me, I am so much more happier now. Literally, I feel like I am, what was the wording that you use? Like running the business versus in the business?
Yeah, being the business owner, right? Versus being the business practitioner, being working on the business versus in the business.
Right, so that's, I feel like I'm transitioning more. I feel like I'm more like 75% on the business now, working on the business as opposed to in the business. And, you know, it's tough. To train a virtual assistant, but I think that's an exercise that we all need to work on because that's, you have to be very clear and concise with your virtual assistants, particularly if they're in another country. And I don't know if you all read the 4-hour work week, but you know, he talks about being very clear and concise with, you know, task one. If you do task one, then task two, task three, and then respond back to me and make sure that you understand this. Like you have to learn to be like that with people. And that just makes you a better manager. And for me, it's really helped our business to scale a lot. And I couldn't have done it without a virtual assistant. I'll leave it to you like that.
But man, it is a leap, right? I mean, that's the hard part. Giving up the money, taking a risk when you have a newer business. But hey, we're doing it. And that's the deal. Well, Nia, I want to kind of wrap up for today. And I'd love to just have some closing thoughts from you on debt, on your journey, on where you're at right now.
Yeah. I mean, you just start to think about things. You're just like, man, wow, we went through a lot. I want to tell people that, you know, first of all, debt is not normal, right? And when we went through this process or started the process, this, I can remember the date that we started. It was September 29th, 2014. We were sitting in front of a computer and we were doing the Dave Ramsey Every Dollar System budget system, which we still use to this day. And we had decided that October 1st, we would start our payoff of loans. And I remember sitting there, my wife is on a computer, I'm sitting there looking at her, and I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how this is going to work out, but, you know, we have a plan and I'm going to stick to it. And, you know, we made a ton of mistakes that first month. We were over budget in some areas, under budget in a lot of areas. And we kept making mistakes literally 6 months, 12 months into, you know, that first year. But the big thing is after 6 months, we got our student loans paid off from a private standpoint. So from a private loan standpoint, and we saw progress. So my final thought to you all is listen, inaction is unacceptable. Create a plan, educate yourself, listen to podcasts, listen to blogs, and don't be afraid to do something that you've never done before, because that's how we felt 3 years ago. I couldn't envision how life would be right now. I could kind of think about it, but I was like, man, like, what would it be like to not be in debt? I just thought it was something that you lived with. So I just want everybody to just kind of understand that debt is not normal. You don't have to live with it. It doesn't have to be a pet. And, you know, there are examples of physicians who are paying it off and getting it done in 3 years. We didn't go through the whole process of, you know, should we invest, you know, more in this and then kind of, you know, arbitrage our student loans. No, we got our loans paid off and we're reaping the benefits right now. So
boom, knowledge bomb dropped. Mm-hmm. There we go. All right.
Mic drop.
Where can we find the podcast? Where can we learn about the Locums business?
Sure. So Equal Access Health is the Locums business. You can find that on www.equalaccesshealth.net, and go to the website and you can find ways that you can get in contact with us. And then with Docs Outside the Box, my pride and joy, that's a podcast where ordinary doctors are doing extraordinary things. That you can find on www.docs, that's docsotb.com, or you can find it on your favorite podcast aggregator, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
There we go. All right. Well, Nee, thank you so much for hanging out again, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, Dave, thank you for having me. Really proud of the work that you're doing. Keep doing great work for physicians. We really, really are learning a lot from you, man.
All right. There you go, guys. Another episode in the can here for the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. And always appreciate, if you have 5 minutes, review, rate the podcast. And as always, you know, slash your debt, slash your taxes, and live a liberated lifestyle. All right, my friends. Well, that was the show for today. I hope you loved it. And I just want to give you one more reminder. My newest book, The Young Physician's Guide to Money and Life, is available right now. $25. You get the sun, the moon, the stars, all kinds of bonuses, $100 worth of priceless knowledge. Are you ready to go and pick this book up? If so, you're going to want to get it from me and get all those bonuses by texting DocBook, that's DocBook, to 44222, or going to the website drfreedompodcast.com/DocBook. Again, snag your copy now by texting DocBook, that's all one word, to 44222, or going to drfreedompodcast.com/DocBook.